So we returned from visiting my wife's family Monday night, just in time to get unpacked so we could sit down and, or at least I could sit down and pull up the Bengals game, and just about two-thirds into the first quarter, the game took a tragic turn. After a hard hit during a tackle, the Bills safety, Damar Hamlin, collapsed on the field, and those of us watching had quick hints of the severity of the situation. There were numerous station breaks as they cut to the same barrage of commercials over and over again. And then they would visit the New York NFL newsroom, and then only to return to the same exact scene on the field over and over again. Eventually, an ambulance was pulled up onto the field, something that I understand hasn't happened, at least not anytime recently, if not ever. I believe that's right, right? Is that, no? One other time. We were informed after about 9 minutes of watching that the first responders had been administering CPR on Damar, and I've heard reports from those who had attended the game that they said that you could hear a pin drop from the respect and the fear of the people there in Paycor Stadium that night. During the many cuts that we as viewers had to the New York NFL newsroom, I could not count the number of times the word prayer was used over and over and over again. We all just need to pray for Damar right now. All we can do is pray. All we can do is pray. And this was not scripted. This was not coming up on their teleprompters. These were people that were stuck in a real life situation trying to figure out what was going on and trying to understand it themselves. And where did they go? They went straight to prayer. There were no disclaimers. There were no inclusive statements that were being added to it. It wasn't good vibes. It wasn't good thoughts. It was the word prayer over and over and over again. I took a glance at my phone, thinking maybe there would be something on Facebook from the NFL that would be an update of something more than what we were getting from the TV broadcast. And as I saw the NFL's comment on that, underneath that, growing comments. I mean, I don't remember what it grew up to of people commenting on there with the praying emojis and praying for Damar and praying and praying and praying. And it, once again, nowhere in that, or at least not many at all. I don't remember seeing any really when I went and looked at those. You didn't see the good vibes or the good thoughts or all the things that had become politically correct. You saw that four-letter word that comes from church. Prayer. Praying. These praying hands over and over and over and over again. And it wasn't until the NFL's official statement that night that the corporation composed itself and omitted the word prayer and delivered a more politically correct statement, as they said that tonight's Buffalo Bills-Cincinnati Bengals game has been postponed after the Buffalo Bills' Damar Hamlin collapsed, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell announced. Hamlin received immediate medical attention on the field by the team and independent medical staff and local paramedics. He was transported to a local hospital where he is in critical condition. Our thoughts are with Damar and the Buffalo Bills. That was their statement. So we will provide more information as it becomes available, et cetera, et cetera. How quickly we are to drop the divisions, to drop the disputes, to drop the anger, and all the things that so often divides us in our current culture. How quickly we are to give a massive green light to this word prayer when tragedy hits. I remember this picture. I think it'll be an iconic picture, I hope, for years to come, of the Bills head coach, Sean McDermott. He had told his whole team, he said, "Guys, we are going to get down and we are going to pray." And I don't know if you remember, but earlier this year, a high school football coach was fired for doing this very same thing. And you can see the ambulance pulling away. and the whole team is praying on the field. Then at a press conference this past week, the head coach of the Bills made a point to thank God for his answer to the prayers and his healing touch on the recovering DeMar. And as we saw, the ESPN analysis, Dan Orlovsky, praying on air. 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says to Timothy, he says, "Therefore I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing." And what do we see in our country when our country joins together in prayer? Isn't it exactly what Paul just said? When we lift up holy hands in prayer without prayer or without anger, without disputing. The anger and the disputing drop for a while when we see something like this happen. We saw it with the exploding space shuttle in the 80s. We saw it on 9/11. And we saw it just this past week. This doesn't happen through the marches and the rallies that have taken place. It doesn't matter if it's a gay pride parade, a BLM protest, or an anti-abortion rally. You don't see this kind of unity happen in any of those things. You don't see those things. They divide. They don't bring unity. This doesn't happen when one political party gains control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And I don't care what political party you're talking about. It doesn't happen. It doesn't bring unity. But when our country is drawn together and drawn to our knees in prayer, that's when you see the anger and the disputing disappear for a moment. And unity rises to the surface. "Therefore, I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing." Now, I definitely don't look forward to the next disaster. I don't hope for another ambulance to drive up on an NFL field today. I don't hope for another teacher to suddenly explode on her way up to space in front of thousands, hundreds of thousands of children's eyes, students in classrooms across the nation. I don't hope for another terrorist attack on American soil. But what we have witnessed through these events and others like them is that when situations are fully out of control, people in mass amounts will turn to prayer. They will do so instinctively. They will do so as a reaction, as a response. Even a nation that seems so far from God, even a nation that rejects him, that rebels against him, that rejects him in these public areas, a nation that has actively been purging his truths, his teachings, his morals, his principles, his values from their behavior, even in our current state when people have nowhere else to turn, what do? They default to prayer. We can't expect our nation to pray like this on a regular basis. But we can hope that God's church will. And at moments like this, we get a window and we get a chance to see the power of what happens when God's people are united in prayer. I mean, imagine what would happen if God's people prayed with the same unity and fervor that we saw Monday night and this week from the nation. And who are all those people praying to Monday night? All the praying emojis. I have to assume they were praying to God. Why else would you use the word prayer? Were they praying to a God they knew? If so, then let me challenge this to all of you. I'll look to the camera. All of you and all the nation who are praying for this NFL safety's life this week, and the God you are praying to, whether or not you know him well or barely know him, that was awesome to see so many people praying. People who, if they call God their father, they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And they were praying for Damar Hamlin. And he still has a way to go in his recovery. But by midweek this last week, he was communicating nonverbally. By the end of the week, he got a chance to have his breathing tube removed. So feel free to continue praying for him. But I think it was a great testimony to the power of prayer and just how many people of faith there possibly are out there. Sometimes I think we feel like Elijah. You feel like we're so small in number. It's just a few of us. And God had to remind Elijah, hey, no, I've got a huge number of people. It's not just you. You're not all alone. And maybe this week, maybe that was a little bit of a reminder. Maybe these people aren't as active in church or as active in their faith, but they would still call God their father when asked. Maybe there are more of us that are out there. Maybe there are more of us out there that do still call on God's name, that do still lean on his understanding and wisdom. What if all these people who were praying for Damar this past week, if all of these people had real relationships with God, if they were our estranged brothers and sisters in Christ that we don't see on a Sunday morning, what if they started praying? We started praying. What if the church, capital C, started praying for bigger things? For things that the early church prayed for the things that Jesus called to pray for. Let's write that down. That's our first challenge this morning. What if God's people started praying for the things that the early church prayed for, that Jesus told us to pray for? Jesus told us to pray to ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest field because the harvest was ripe. When was the last time we've prayed that as a church? Capital C. What if all these people that were praying Monday night would continue in their unity and pray for these things? To pray for that, to pray for the harvest and the harvest workers. As Walt shared with us last year, seems like it was just a couple weeks ago. Jesus said to pray, Jesus prayed for unity. So what if we just followed in Jesus' example and we prayed as a church in unity for unity? That the church would be brought together in unity. The early church prayed for the boldness of the gospel, and the building shook because of their prayer for boldness. What if God's people prayed for boldness, for the gospel to move forward, to advance in our country and around the world? What if all these people that prayed for Damar would pray for these things? The early church prayed for safety for those who were boldly sharing the gospel. What if we added that to our prayers on a regular basis? All of us praying in unity. We see the power of what happens when we join together. Brothers and sisters in Christ all across America. There are a great number of people praying for Damar, and we've been able to see the result of those prayers. What happens when we come together in unity with a singular voice and in harmony together? Share a like mind and pray for the same thing. You know, God could have gone whatever way he would have chosen to go in that situation. But I believe one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons that God came through for Damar this past week was possibly to communicate to the church in America, see what happens when you unify and you pray to me? When you drop your anger and your disputes and you use that four-letter word publicly, and the prayer emojis, not just as something cute, but I believe those were real concerns from people all around our country. What if God was saying, see, here's what happens when you pray? I'm so glad to hear the good news of Damar's situation, and if any friends or family or teammates of Damar's hear any of this, please understand. Look to the camera there, so I don't think any of you are part of that group. Please understand, I'm not minimizing the trauma or the feel that you endured or fear that you endured this past week. But with that in mind, church, capital C, those subjects that I just mentioned, praying for the harvest and the harvest workers, praying for unity among God's people, praying for boldness and the protection and the sharing of the gospel of Jesus, aren't those subjects so much more important? Imagine what would happen if God's church would pray for those things with the same public enthusiasm that was shown this past week. Keep praying for your friends. Keep praying for your loved ones. Pray for those on our prayer list. Pray for people that are facing tragic events like what we experienced this past week. But let's see the power of prayer and understand that there are even more important things to pray for. And even Joe, in the emergency room, receiving our prayers this morning, he would agree that even above that are the prayers for God's church to move forward, for harvest workers to be in the harvest, for his people to be united. What would happen if we prayed these things as a unified church, a voice lifted as one? The unity of God's family and the success of the gospel message. James describes two parts of a potent prayer in his book, his letter in James chapter 5. He says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So write this down. The two key parts of a potent prayer: a righteous person praying to our Father in heaven. James reminds us that Elijah was a man just like you and I. Now, there was a little bit of a difference there. He was a righteous man. He put a lot of value into his relationship with God. There may be some differences there. I hope not. But there wasn't anything that he was that none of us aren't able to be. He was a man. He was a person, just like every one of us. He was praying to the same God that exists today. God in Scripture says that he's forever the same, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So let me offer you a second challenge this morning. Chase after powerful and effective prayers through righteousness. Chase after powerful and effective prayers through righteousness. If we see the power that our prayers can have, if we see that we're just men and women, just people, just like Elijah, why would we hinder our ability to be as powerful as we could be in this area? Stop being unrighteous, church. You're robbing the world. You're robbing your friends, your family, and most importantly, you're robbing the church of potent prayers. If this past week is a result of a multitude of, and I mean, let's be honest, semi-righteous people at best, I don't know any of those people. But I can only assume by what I see around me, what I observe, but their prayers were heard. How much more effective, how much more potent, how much more powerful would it be for God's people, God's church, to chase after righteousness, as James says, that the prayer of a righteous man, of a righteous person, is powerful and effective. How much more if it wasn't only just a multitude of us, but it was a multitude of people who chased after righteousness, how potent would those prayers be if they were unified in one voice? How powerful would those prayers be compared to what we witnessed this past week? Chase after powerful and effective prayers through righteousness. Don't rob the church of what your prayers could be, because we're chasing after selfish things. As we pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field, as we pray for unity, as we pray for the gospel message to go out boldly, and that those who were involved in taking it boldly would be protected, don't we want those prayers to be powerful and effective? Then chase after righteousness. And then there's a third challenge for you this morning, and this is where I'm going to lose a lot of you. I hope I don't. Because this could be crazy impactful for the kingdom. This could open doors and relationships that never would be opened any other way. That your faith can be seen in a way that's authentic and real. That you can connect your faith in God with others instantaneously through this next challenge. And here's the challenge. Instead of saying, "I'll pray for you," which we'll do a lot of times, we'll hear about a situation, someone will share something with us, and we'll say, "I'll keep you in my prayer. I'll add you to my prayer list. I'll pray for you," which is not a bad thing to say at all. But what if you just stopped everything right there and prayed for them on the spot? Let's write that down. It's up there. Good. What if instead of saying, "I'll pray for you," you stop and pray right there? How much of an impact can you make? How much more value would that have than telling them, "I'll pray for you. I'll add you to my prayer list"? Than to have a God moment right there with them, no matter where you are. If you're at you just have to pray really loud. That's it, water cooler. I was thinking water fountain. I couldn't get fountain out of my head. Yeah, the water cooler at work. If it's a neighbor standing out in the street of your neighborhood, maybe move out of the middle of the street, but how much more impactful? I mean, that's a sincere, if you have a relationship with God, that's a sincere move. They share with you something they're going through, something that's going on. What if that became a habit of all of us? "Well, let me pray for you. Can I pray for you?" "Oh man, I can't do that." "Why can't you?" I mean, some of you might say, "Well, didn't we just study the Sermon on the Mount? Didn't Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount that we're supposed to go into a closet and close the door and pray to God privately?" Well, that would be very public if it were at the water cooler or on a sidewalk in my neighborhood. Oh, that doesn't fit with Scripture. You try that with God. You take that argument to Him later today, and you say, "God, my crazy preacher wants me to pray with people, but I can't do it because Your Word says you could try that." I challenge you to try that. If you don't want to take this challenge, take that challenge, then you'll come back to this challenge, I guarantee you. Jesus was talking about motive. He was talking about a humility and a personal part of our prayer. And I'm not omitting that. That prayer and that type of prayer is very important. But you look throughout the scriptures. Didn't Jesus have public prayers when people were in need? Yes. The first church, the early church, those that were involved in that, when there was something, someone had a need, they prayed right there on the spot. They didn't say, well, I need to write back to Jerusalem. Next time I send a letter to Ephesus or whatever, I want to get you put on the prayer list. No, they did it right there. Why don't we? Oh, we're so scared. What can that do? I mean, just what I said a few minutes ago. Let me go back. You guys can check that on the, you can go back and catch it on the recording, but let me. This can impact your relationship with others. Your faith can be seen in a transparent, authentic way. And you can connect your faith in God with others instantaneously in that moment where you say, well, can I pray for you right now? I'll add you to my prayer list. If you'd like, I can take it to my church and add you to the prayer list there as well. But can I pray for you right now? That's an instant connection between you and them and God. Who's going to turn that down? Who's going to say, no, I'd rather you not? I have a little exercise. This will help get us warmed up a little bit, okay? If you pull out the blue sheet that's in your bulletins there, pray, church, pray. You're going to see a number of different scriptures. And Mike, I'd like to invite you to come on up. And what we're going to do, to set the mood, I'd like to dim the lights, but I don't want to dim the lights because I know that a lot of us here, and I'm getting in the same boat, you can't see very well if the lights are dim. So I want to leave the lights up. So we'll just have to go with some bright lights here so we can all be able to see this. Now I want you to find a partner. Don't leave anyone out today. Everyone here is going to get prayed over. And you don't have to think about what words to use or what to come up with. Right here, these are scripture verses. These are prayers in Paul's letters to a few different churches. And all you're going to do is you're going to find out which of these four, I think, yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, which of these four is going to fit better for them. And they can look at them, you can look at them, you all have the same sheet. And they say, you know what, I really could use some prayers for wisdom, or I could use some prayers for a reassurance of my hope in Christ. And then you just bow and you just read scripture. You pray scripture over them. You don't have to come up with words. You just read scripture and you finish that up with, in Jesus' name, amen. And I want you to see how powerful that is for each other. So find people, find partners, or you can get a little trio if you want to move quick. Make sure there's no one left out. And if there's an odd person left out, I'm available. If you need a partner, if you need someone to pray with you, let me have a raise a hand. Look around you. Don't leave anyone alone. If you see someone sitting alone, go to them. Don't leave them out. If I can have some more outgoing members of the church here to look around and find someone, if they are alone, make sure you go and connect with them. Partner up. Find out which of these four are going to benefit. And then pray scripture over them. And that's something you can do. That's something you can do if you don't feel comfortable coming up with your own words. There are a number of prayers in Scripture. And you can find those and you can have some of them on hand. We have these wonderful devices where you could have a whole Google document filled with prayers. and you could identify them by subject, and then you wouldn't have to come up with your own words. If that makes you nervous, you can just go straight scripture, and I tell you what, that can be even more beneficial because you're connecting them right to God's word. And you pray scripture over them. You just say, I'm gonna read this, but it's gonna be my prayer to you. My prayer for you, my prayer over you. And if you need to hear it again, here's where it is. What if God's people united and started praying for the things that we should be praying for as the church? The harvest and the harvest workers, the church being brought together in unity, the church to boldly share the gospel of salvation for the safety of those boldly sharing the gospel. What if we chased after righteousness with one of the key purposes to bring our prayers to a level of potency, of power and effectiveness? Because the church matters that much to us that we are going to try to live better, to pray stronger for each other, for the things Jesus would want us to pray for. What if we just stopped everything we were doing when someone was in need of prayer and we just said, can I pray for you right now? What would be different? In just 37 minutes, we learned some challenges that can turn our world upside down in a wonderful, amazing way. And we got a chance to have a window this weekend to what the power of prayer looks like. Let's not let it be just a one-week thing. Let's take that and jump on that and ride that wave, church. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for the ability that you give us to come to you. That you have encouraged us, that you've opened the door, that through your son Jesus we can have a relationship with you, that we can come to you and we get a chance to call you our Father, and we can come to you and we can lift up any prayer and petition that we would have because you love us, you care for us. We can cast our cares on you. We can cast our anxiety on you because you love us. Father, we pray for the church. We pray that we will be brought together in unity and that these stupid divisions that have plagued your body for hundreds of years, that we would let them drop so we could be the church united. Father, we pray that you would send out workers into the harvest field, that every one of us would be willing . Father, we pray that we would speak boldly the truths of your gospel, your principles, your values, your standards, your son's teachings, and that you would protect us as we speak boldly about those things. Father, I pray that you open up windows for us to be able to pray for others this week, that we would see those opportunities, and maybe we've had them all along and we just haven't recognized them. And help us to have the courage to step out of our comfort zone and love someone by praying for them. Father, I pray all of this in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, go be the church. Go be the church. We're in an amazing time right now because things in our world are shaken crazy. And I think we get caught up in that and we say, whoa, it's all crazy. No. Let's look at the advantage of that in 2023. Things are crazy right now. The church can step up and we really have a chance to advance and move forward in the midst of craziness. In the midst of instability, we have stability. In the midst of all of these voices, we have a voice of truth that has stood the test of time. Let's not get caught up in the crazy. Let's say, man, since things are crazy, this is a great opportunity for the church to be the church and advance. If we focus on the basics, we focus on the main things, and the main things are the main things, then I believe we can see some amazing success. This year, I want to see some amazing things here. We were geared up, we were moving forward, and then COVID hit, and we've had a couple crazy years, and I'm done with the, we're going to get back on. And we're going to start doing some amazing things, church. And all of it's going to be about having an authentic relationship with God and being obedient in what we do. And we can start today simply with our prayer life and how we handle prayer.